Good morning, brethren, on a beautiful, beautiful spring day. And I want to thank Tom for that last song because it ties right in with my subject today. Today I decided to not preempt, but give a foretaste of our Kingdom God seminar coming up. I really appreciate that song, Blessed is the Nation God is For, because in the world tomorrow, God will be for the whole world, and it'll be fantastic. So my question this morning is, do we have a clear vision about the Kingdom of God and the world tomorrow? And this will tie in directly with our Kingdom of God seminar tomorrow, next week. I believe that's next week here, right? Okay. What we'll be doing in the wonderful world tomorrow. Does our vision of the world tomorrow help us during trials and times of stress in our life? Is our vision of the future wonderful world tomorrow in living color and stereo sound? So the purpose of my sermon now is to help us have a clear vision of God's wonderful kingdom in the world tomorrow. And I will present this by giving you a little synopsis of when I came into the church. The booklet that inspired me, some of you know it, many of you know it and have read it. And I'm sure there are ones today by United Church of God that parallel this very significantly. And the booklet was called The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. And this booklet was very inspiring to me back in the late 60s and early 70s. And it was written by Herbert W. Armstrong, of course. And the first thing it did was contrast the worldviews, the two different worldviews, and they still exist today. One is of doom and gloom, everything's coming crashing down. And the end of the world is coming shortly. I mean, literally, the world's going to blow up. Of course, back then, we had the arms race with Russia, and we were seriously considering the MAD agreement, where we'll blow each other up. The second theory was of man was the idea of utopia, and that still exists today. A utopian world under man. But he took a different approach. He used the prophecy right out of the Bible. And many of you read this and were inspired by it, and so was I. And so hopefully these words from the past will inspire you today in preparation for the Kingdom God series next Sabbath. On the paragraph heading, compared with today's politicians, he says, take outstanding superior men, as Christian men, and Christian women under Christ, having undergone a human lifetime of this attitude, that is the Christian attitude, this training in the ways of success and perfection. And now change these men and women by resurrection into the perfection of immortality. And consider that immortality will multiply their aptitudes, abilities, and powers perhaps a million times above what they achieved as humans by infusing into them the power and glory of God. That is what God is going to do with you and me, every saint that is living and dead. And that's my words added on. But it's true. And there you have the chief executive personnel under Christ administering the new super world government. See, the whole idea of the Kingdom of God is God's government. That's what it's coming. Not man's government, God's government. Compare that to the scheming, compromising, selfish, motivated politicians that head most of the governments of the world today. Oh boy, do we see that. Feast your eyes for a while on the picture of the world tomorrow, which God's government will produce, as we shall do now. And when you take your eyes from looking at this, look again at this drab, ugly, sin-sick world of corruption, violence, and suffering. It'll make you sick at the heart. But does it make you want to shout for joy to realize what a government, what a world is actually coming? Does it make you want to really put your heart in your prayers, praying earnestly, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Matthew 6:20. The next chapter heading now, picture tomorrow's world. Now change, picture the changed conditions. Look at all the problems solved. See a glimpse into a world of no illiteracy, no poverty, no famine, no starvation. Where we have a world, in the world tomorrow, where crime decreases rapidly. People learn honesty, chastity, human kindness, and happiness. A world of peace, prosperity, abundant well-being. And then he goes on to the population explosion is solved. Can you imagine a world of great strides in solving the most crucial problems facing mankind? The daily ominous pressure of people is one of the truly incomprehensible problems today. But God has a solution. And how simple it is. Simply make most of the earth cultivatable. Reduce the bare, snow-swept, craggy mountains. Raise up some of the deep, arid desert valleys. Change the world's weather patterns. Make all the deserts green and fertile. Open up huge slices of the earth, like the Kalahari Desert, the Lake Chad Basin in French Equatorial Africa, the well-known Sahara Desert, the Gobi Desert, the Great American Deserts. Make green and verdant the vast waste of Mongolia, Siberia, Saudi Arabia, and many of the western states in the U.S. Uncover the deep ice packs and snow drifts, the permafrost and tundra from the vast. And that got me to thinking, maybe God's going to have the real global warming. Isn't that going to be something? I mean, it'll be a whole different than what they're talking about today, to melt the ice caps. Almost limitless expanse of Antarctica, North America, Greenland, Northern Europe, and Siberia. Make level the awesome Pamir Knob, the huge giants of the Himalayas, the Atlas, the Taurus, the Pyrenees, the Rockies, Sierras, and Hindu Kush. Level the immense sweep of the Andes and all the other forbidding, towering, virtually in uninhabitable mountains of earth. Then provide good, gentle rain in right balance, just in the right season. And what happens? Multiple millions of acres of unbelievable fertility, productive, wonderfully farmland, suddenly available, just waiting to be discovered and pioneered. Impossible? In the hands of man, certainly. But let's look at the Bible and see what it says. Isaiah 41. Some of you know this by heart. Isaiah 41, 14, where he got this idea for making these statements that he just made. Isaiah 41, starting in verse 14. Fear not, you worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help you, says the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make you a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. You shall thrash the mountains and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. They shall fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And you shall rejoice in the Lord, and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places, fountains in the midst of the valleys, which is like artesian wells. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittim tree, and the myrtle, and the olive tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine, and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel has created it. And then moving on to Isaiah 35, 6 and 7. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For the wilderness shall For in the wilderness, waters shall break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, in the habitation of dragons, where each lay, and shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And then he goes on to say, in the chapter headed, sickness and disease that's feared today will be conquered. God shows us that in his kingdom, when it rules, he will teach people to obey nature's law, stop causing sickness and disease. In other words, stop sinning, because sin is defined as transgressing God's law. 1 John 3 and 4. Most of you know that by heart. God reveals a great result of the increased productivity of the land and abundance of right and good foods, together with right knowledge and education and health laws, will be good health for all. In God's new world tomorrow, there will be indeed probably a place for doctors, but will be teaching people to keep well by avoiding the causes of disease. That will require an entirely new type, quote, medical education. Only we shall then drop the term medical. In the world tomorrow, there will actually be a utopia. There will be universal good health. How can such utopian dream come true? It's simple. Remove the cause of the disease. And then the chapter, happiness and health. Jeremiah 30:17. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, says the Eternal Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. And then Jeremiah 31:12-4. Therefore they shall come and sing to the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Eternal, for wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock, and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old, together. For I will turn the mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrow. And I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, says the Eternal Lord. So he goes on to say, Christ, the King of Kings, perfect in character, absolute in honesty, integrity, faithfulness, loyalty, and trust, filled with outgoing concern for the governed, their welfare and salvation, total knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, complete love, mercy, patience, kindness, compassion, forgiveness, yet possessing total power, never compromising one millionth of an inch with his perfect law, which is the way of love. He will enforce God's law, God's government on earth. He will compel haughty, carnal, rebellious humans to yield in complete submission to God's government. No one will be deceived, as the vast majority of mankind is today. All will know the truth. No more religious confusion. Eyes will be open to the truth. Humans will become teachable. People will start living God's way, the way of outgoing concern for others, the way of the true values, the way of peace, happiness, and well-being, of joy. Crime, sickness, disease, pain, and suffering gone. Poverty, ignorance banished. Smiles on humans' faces, faces that radiate. Wild animals tamed. Air pollution, water pollution, soil pollution gone. Crystal pure water to drink, clean, crisp, pure air to breathe, rich black soil where deserts, mountains, and seas formerly were, producing full-flavored foods and fantastic beauty and flowers, shrubs, and trees. A world filled with happy, radiating humans, guided, helped, protected, ruled by former mortals, made immortal, and all the humans realizing that they too may inherit everlasting life in supreme happiness and thrilling joy. What a fabulous picture. What a great vision of the coming world tomorrow. In addition, you can read Isaiah chapter 60 and 61 in parts of, and it has some of the same information that we read in early Isaiah. So in summary, the teachings of the past by Mr. Armstrong showed a vision of the future wonderful world tomorrow in God's kingdom. Teaching in the present UCG ministry shows us a continuing vision of the same future. So, brethren, catch the vision. Hold on to it. It's a Sure Vision in Living Color, and I hope to see you there.